we're not ready. I mean, I've never been in this spot, and I'm not going to act like I know what the hell I'm going to do tomorrow when I get in here. So we're gonna do what we always do. We're gonna represent the Packers the right way. I know that. So other than that, we'll focus on what's in front of us.
Let's do this.
And now Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
That quote from Mike McCarthy with the tagline, "He no longer has to worry about tomorrow," is how Michael Cohen wrote his article at The Athletic. We'll talk to Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold insider, about how this went down coming up in about 15 minutes. Very interesting, this article from Michael Cohen, because he notes in the press conferences just a bunch of different things that Rodgers and McCarthy had said. Chuck, here's three of the things where they just did not seem to see eye to eye on just this week alone. Rodgers believed the Packers practiced well on Thursday during their heaviest workload of the week. McCarthy thought that same practice wasn't very good. Rodgers believed the overall preparation for the Cardinals was strong. McCarthy thought the meetings weren't crisp enough during the week. Rodgers believed poor execution was the biggest problem in Sunday's game. McCarthy thought the coaching was subpar and blamed himself twice. It's like George Carlin's baseball versus football bit. It's like Goofus versus Gallant. One thing sees one way, the other sees another, and it ultimately, the rift between the two of them is what led to the firing of Mike McCarthy. I think we can say that with confidence.
It's like me and my ex-wives. Sounds exactly that same story. I could say, oh, man, it is cloudy outside. What are you talking about? It's 72. What? Okay. Yeah. I get it.
What can be 72 and cloudy? This is the part of the show that makes me the most uncomfortable, when you bring up your ex-wives.
Oh, okay.
I never know how to act. I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm on Team Frames. You okay. Know that. Well, I don't want to be
just
in
play
that.
Along.
I don't want to be in that world, because it sounds
along.
Terrible.
Just play along.
I can do that. 799-1250. Michael Cohen coming up 8:20. We'll talk to Mike Clemens.
Let me be the bad guy.
9:09. But I want you to be the good guy. That's well, the thing.
I should be. I should be. There's no doubt about it.
799-1250. The number to call in. Let's go out to Alex, who's in West Dallas. Alex, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Bart? Hey,
what's good?
What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, Al.
Hey, you know what? Rodgers is a big Game of Thrones fan, and I think if anybody's watched that show, they realize what happened here. He basically played Game of Thrones with McCarthy and got him killed.
All right, I don't see the show, I'm interested in the theory.
Oh man, because the series is just basically about getting one up on the next guy. Basically, it's medieval times and whatever, and Rodgers is a huge fan of it, and he basically played a role in getting McCarthy. And I can't respect a guy like that. I just can't. I respect his talent. I respect that he's a great player, but he snaked Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy's a good guy. I feel like he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. He's a guy I would like to play for if I played football, because he's stand-up. He took all of the crap behind Ted Thompson doing stuff, and he'd have to march out and explain it. And then he got this guy who's basically sabotaging him. You know, is Mike McCarthy infallible in all this? No. He's not. He's made countless mistakes over the years. Sometimes he seemed out of his depth when the tough times really kind of came, and he had to make a winning decision, like the Belichick, like even Pete Carroll's annoying, you know, you fill in the blank. But he got himself fired, but Rodgers basically shoved the shiv in. And I just think it's really sadness and poor class. In poor taste, I should say. Now, as far as a coach, I know everybody's talking offensive guru to get Rodgers. Rodgers is basically Peyton Manning. He's basically Phillip Rivers. He's basically running your offense, and he's your offensive coordinator. You got to get somebody in here who can be, you know, keep these guys on an edge, you know, and let Aaron deal with the offense, because he's gonna, you know, bristle when anybody comes up and tries to tell him what to do, because he's so brilliant and he's so talented. I think that's just a disaster waiting to happen if you try to force an offensive guy on him. I say either give a defensive guy or somebody who can kind of manage the whole operation while Aaron deals with the offense. And get him somebody he likes that he can work with.
Yeah, back to your earlier point and what you said earlier, Bart, about if Aaron throws for 400 on Sunday against Atlanta.
I'm going to be so upset.
Well, yeah, and his body language is different and all that. That says a lot about a guy, okay, when you're going to be out there. I mean, I don't like it. I mean, I like Aaron Rodgers, but I don't like the way he's acting. I don't like the body language. I don't like throwing the coach under the bus publicly. That's not meant for the public. That's something you do behind closed doors. That's not right, okay? That's wrong. I don't like it. And that really, I mean, guy's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He needs to be better than that, okay? He shouldn't – that's my vision of Aaron Rodgers right now should be of him being one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But I'm thinking of a guy who, well, throw him a little adversity and the spoiled kid from California can't handle it.
The problem with criticizing Aaron
Rodgers. It is.
I agree with
you. Don't you look like a spoiled kid out there?
He looks like a kid who went to his, stepdad's house and he knows he can do whatever he wants because mom's not going to yell at him. Mm-hmm. The stepdad's going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Look, Aaron Rodgers, here's the problem with
I'm uncomfortable.
Well, yeah. Here's the problem with criticizing Aaron Rodgers, and I ran into this a lot. When you criticize Aaron Rodgers, the comeback is, well, would you want an average quarterback? Would you want 40 years of Matt Stafford? Do you want Blake Bortles, man? Well, no. I know what Aaron Rodgers is when he is at his peak. When's the last time you watched Aaron Rodgers and said, that guy's at his peak? It certainly wasn't this season. It's probably back to last year, that game against Dallas. And even that was the game where they go down and then Rodgers has to bring them back. It's like it's almost boring to just win a game the normal way. You got to have a great Hail Mary or a great game-winning drive, and so you can be the hero. Just win a game normal. You're good enough to do that. You're Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. But now I'm starting to wonder, and I don't like the words to come out of my mouth, I'm starting to wonder, is he good enough? I said, what do I do? I said, what do I do after watching that game yesterday? Do I just think, well, this is fine. He'll be good again because of hope, because he did this once before where he got really poor and then came back and was an MVP. Is that going to happen again? Is he doing that on purpose? If there's any part of Rodgers that is playing like this, and you cannot defend how he played yesterday. Yeah, he didn't throw an interception, and he's only got one on the year, and Pro Football Focus's terribly skewed system weights that so much. Aaron Rodgers played poorly yesterday. Anybody can see it. He was throwing it in the dirt. He quits on plays. He's throwing it out of bounds all the time, and the scheme's not great, and the players aren't great, but Aaron Rodgers has taken a really bad team to the NFC Championship game before. That 2016 team was so bad. They were not good. And Aaron Rodgers played at the most elite level you can play at, and he willed them to the NFC Championship game. He can be that good, and he has not been this season. And for him to do what he did yesterday, because you know that's not how – he's better than that. I don't know what was the intent. I don't know why he was playing so poorly. Maybe it is just simple as Chuck, his collarbone's messed up, and this is it now. Maybe he's not going to be as good as he was. But if there's any part of him that Game of Thrones this, if there's any part of him that sabotaged this and to try to get Mike McCarthy fired sooner, then shame on Aaron Rodgers. And I honestly, that's not the kind of guy I want to be the quarterback of my football team.
Oh, no. And I'm glad he stood up there yesterday and said, when someone asked him, hey, is it time to give Kaiser a shot? And if he would have said, oh, no, yeah, I think I'm just going to step down here since we're not in the race anymore. Let the Kaiser take over, get some stamps in, and I'll just sit out the rest of the season. That'd be poor form to show the rest of your team.
He wants to play now more than ever because now he's going to try, which will then show everyone how bad McCarthy was because Rodgers wasn't trying when McCarthy was here and it was all McCarthy's fault.
If he did that though, Bart, if he said, I think I'm going to give some thought about whether or not I'm going to be around here since we don't have nothing to play for. It's like, okay. So in other words, you're only going to play in important games. You're going to only play when the season is on the line. You're only going to play when you're going to play for something. But, you lose a couple of games, yet you're going to expect Randall Cobb and everybody else to go out there and play. But, Brett, but he did say he was going to play the final. So I'm glad he said that at least.
It's a disgrace that's on tape yesterday. of Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is a direct reason why Mike McCarthy is no longer the head coach of this football
team.
Well,
I mean, it's on McCarthy too, obviously, but Rodgers certainly didn't help the cause.
They don't fire him if they win yesterday.
No. Of course not. Yeah. I mean, those numbers are a disgrace. I mean, he's better than that. And I don't think it's a collarbone injury. I mean, that shouldn't ruin a career. That shouldn't ruin a season. I mean, that he's a year removed from that now.
We all know he's going to go throw 350 and four touchdowns Sunday, right? We all know that's happening.
No, we don't.
And he's going to look as good as ever.
Bart, with this Packer team, don't expect any. I mean, you were expecting them to beat Arizona and do the same thing. Don't expect anything.
Well, now don't Aaron put any expectations. Has a reason to do it.
Yeah.
He didn't have a reason to throw 450 the other day.
Well, he's in the playoff race yet.
No, he didn't care. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. We'll hear more from you guys. Michael Cohen will break this down. We'll get his thoughts on everything that we just said that you guys are saying. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Well, here's a place that cares a lot. The Q Club of Wisconsin, man. They are the place to watch all your favorite sports action any time of the day. Get your friends. Get them over there. Have some brewskis. Have some food and watch all of the favorite sports action. All the local teams, they got the volume, all the games. On over at the Q Club Wisconsin, located north side of Waukesha on Grandview Boulevard. But first of all, man, they got their indoor sports facility as well. The entertainment room, the pool tables, the tornado foosball, shuffleboard, electronic darts, ping pong, and a whole lot more. It is a big, spacious area. There's a lot going on there, man. The Q Club Wisconsin. It is not your typical sports bar, man. They got sports going on, of course, the great food, but this indoor sports entertainment room, man, with the pool tables and all that, it is tremendous. And, of course, the indoor bocce ball that they got going on there. Who's got an indoor bocce ball league, Corey? Well, the Q Club of Wisconsin does on the north side of Waukesha. And, of course, your food preferences. Well, let's start with the Friday fish fries. Award-winning Friday fish fries that they have them on Wednesday nights as well. So you can go there for Fridays or Wednesdays. And the fish fries, well, four different styles piled high with all the extras. Their happy hours specials daily from 3 until 7. Late night happy hour on Friday starts at 10 o'clock. If you like live entertainment, Q Club of Wisconsin's got that as well. Go to their Facebook and you'll find what bands are performing at the Q Club. But their menu is extensive. Whether you like fish on Fridays or Wednesdays, or burgers, or appetizers, or wings, they got it all at the Q Club of Wisconsin in Waukesha. And if you got a private party coming up, you know, with these holiday parties, you want to maybe rent one of their rooms where you got there, right? They get the Q Club can set you up with a private room available with your own VIP suite with a luxury pool table. Call them and find out how you can have your private party over the holiday party at the Q Club of Wisconsin. Located 2454 North Grandview Boulevard. That's a half mile south of I-94. That's Highway T. Take 94 west to Highway T. Get off there. Go south. And there it is. Half mile down, the Q Club of Wisconsin. Visit them online, qclubofwi.com, or on Facebook. But if you're going to have some good eats, fish fry, dinner, watch a game, enjoy their entertainment room, it's the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's north side.
How did this go down yesterday, and what is next for the Green Bay Packers? Michael Cohen of The Athletic, he joins us next. You do not want to miss that. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
The Packers dropped to 4-7-1 with a loss to the Cardinals. And Coach McCarthy is out.
This is Aaron Rodgers' 35th birthday today.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
So happy birthday, Aaron. You got you're 35 and your coach is fired. So got to make you happy, I guess.
There's a lot to say about this one.
It didn't come as such a shock that maybe it could happen at some point at the end of the season, but not today.
It's an Aurora Sports Health Green and Gold Monday. On The Fan, find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries.
God, I can't stand Terry Bradshaw. Just hearing that voice, having heard it a few times that I can't stand it. I didn't like it when he was the quarterback of the Steelers. I hated the Steelers of the 70s, and I hate him worse as an analyst on Fox.
He's always been pro-McCarthy. He, 2 years ago, said that if he was the Packers and he had to make a choice, he would go McCarthy over Rodgers.
Well, you know why? They're both Pittsburgh. I mean, well, he's originally from Louisiana.
They're boys.
Well, McCarthy grew up in Pittsburgh, and McCarthy grew up a Steelers fan, idolizing Terry Bradshaw.
Let's bring Michael Cohen into our world this morning. By the way, this is the reaction from Pauline. She says, do not listen to FM 105. They suck. All they do is criticize the Pack and Rodgers. They never look to the positive things with the changes coming. I think all should call into the show and tell them they need to stop being Debbie Downers. Pauline, they lost so bad to a terrible team, they fired their head coach in the regular season, something they have never done in the history of this franchise.
Trust me.
It's okay to be a little mad.
Trust me. If we're Debbie Downers, there's a reason for it.
It's okay to be a little mad.
Okay. Because, you know, we've had sports teams in our city that have brought us down, but I like to think that we're not Debbie Downers.
Michael Cohen with The Athletic joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You find his work at The Athletic, Michael_Cohen13. Mike, good morning to you, bud. How are you?
Hi, Michael.
Hey, morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing well. I'm just curious, how did all this go down? Because I take it you were probably still at Lambeau Field when this news came down and at around 6 o'clock. Do you know any details about it? And, I mean, what was it like for you at all that?
Yeah, it was definitely hectic, that's for sure. So I poked around as much as I could to try and find some information about how and why and you know, when it sort of unfolded. And basically, what I was able to understand and learn is that this was a decision that Murphy made with the approval of Brian Gutekunst. They had conferred about this and consulted with one another and agreed that a move had to be made. So knowing that and then knowing what I do about Murphy and Gutekunst, it's certainly possible that they could have been sitting next to each other in a suite during the game, or they could have consulted quickly after the game while maybe McCarthy was up at the podium meeting with reporters. But I don't think either of those guys is as much of a knee-jerk reaction type person that it would be required to make a choice like that on the fly solely as the game goes on or as the game ends. So given the fact that, you know, Murphy did consult with Gutekunst and they were both in agreement, and the timing of it happening so swiftly after the game, it makes me think that this was a decision that they had reached, you know, either a week or 2 or 3 weeks ago. Not necessarily that they were going to part ways with McCarthy after the Arizona game, but that McCarthy was no longer the coach of the future. And once they made that decision, it was just a matter of finding the right opening between whenever that point in time was and, you know, the day after the season finale. And obviously, losing to the Cardinals in such horrific fashion open the door for them to make that change immediately. But this is something that it seems to me like they had known about at least for a short amount of time prior to Sunday's game.
Do you think, real quick, do you think that they thought, okay, when that game was going that direction and looked like the Packers were going to lose, do you think maybe Mark Murphy was sitting in his box and thought, you know what, I'm going to do this today?
Well, that's kind of exactly what I just said, that they had probably already made up their mind that McCarthy was not the coach of the future, because I find it hard to believe that within the course of a game, with all that's going on, he could have had, you know, enough confidence that they could make a sound decision right there and then while conferring with Gutekunst, while conferring with whoever else he wanted to confer with. So, again, I thought they just needed an avenue to make a change that they were intent on making anyway, and then losing to the Cardinals game was that avenue for him to exercise that decision.
Michael Cohen on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, joining us here from The Athletic, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. It is a shock. It's a shock because it's never happened before. They have never fired a coach in the middle of a regular season, the Packers. But then when you think about it, I mean, what would Sunday have looked like? What would the next game have looked like? There was just no way that this could continue, so it had to come to its natural end here. And a lot of that was because of the Aaron Rodgers-Mike McCarthy relationship. And when you look at that game, I mean, there's no way they should lose to the Arizona Cardinals. If Aaron Rodgers is as good as we think he is, it has been a poor season for him. Statistically, you know, he's hitting all the right notes. He's not throwing the picks and, you know, breaking records that way. But he looked about as bad as he's ever looked, at least when healthy yesterday. And it leads to some speculation, especially if he goes out and throws 350 and 4 touchdowns on Sunday. Is there a part of him that tried to orchestrate this? If that's the case in any way, for me as a fan, Michael, I don't want him around here. What do you suppose his reaction will be, both publicly and privately, in the coming days to the firing?
Yeah, I can't speak to whether or not he was trying to get Mike McCarthy fired any faster than it would have happened anyway, so I can't really address that part of it. But in terms of Aaron Rodgers' reaction, I mean, look, I'm sure this is what Aaron Rodgers wanted in the big scheme of things. You know, the relationship between him and McCarthy had gotten to a point where, you know, I don't think either guy really enjoyed being around the other one anymore. You know, earlier in their careers, they passed off any friction or tension between them as creative differences between two guys who are really competitive. But I think as the years went on and Aaron, you know, got older and Mike McCarthy spent more time around Aaron, I think that the creative tension that could easily be laughed off or shook aside after a win and a winning streak or a good performance or a playoff victory, I think those things started to linger a little bit more, and eventually it shifted from any sort of creative tension or differences to just legitimate tension or differences. And so I think it had gotten to a point where Rodgers was not going to buy in or accept or agree with much of what McCarthy was doing anymore. And on the flip side of it, I think McCarthy had gotten to a point where he was never going to challenge Rodgers in public, and he was never going to try and, you know, completely have some sort of a groundbreaking moment that would shift the dynamic of their relationship. So it had to get to a point where a change needed to be made. And obviously when the Packers committed 4 years and $134 million to Rodgers in August, you know, their decision was made. They were going to side with Rodgers no matter what. And so I think, you know, Rodgers is probably happy about this. I think publicly he'll say all the right things about how McCarthy was here for a long time. They had a lot of success together. They won the Super Bowl together. They experienced more highs than lows as a duo and, you know, those types of things. But I don't think there's any question that, you know, Rodgers is probably excited about the opportunity to work with somebody new.
Can you sense, though, I mean, I at least watching the press conference the last couple of weeks with McCarthy, man, he's not as confrontational as he once was and all that, that he... And then when he makes this comment that, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do tomorrow, it just seemed like he knew that the end was coming for him very soon.
I mean, I think he knew that by the end of the season, there was a pretty good chance that he was going to be let go unless they had a drastic turnaround. Mm-hmm. But I certainly believe that he was shocked that it happened yesterday because, as you mentioned, it's unprecedented. It doesn't really happen very often, and especially considering that the Packers weren't mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Technically, they can still make the playoffs. And so to make a change at that point gives you an indication that a lot of the reason behind this, in addition to, you know, a couple of rough years in a row, had to do with the on-field product this season. If the Packers, you know, had played really, really well yesterday and maybe they lose on some sort of a fluke fumble or whatever the case may be, you know, maybe McCarthy is still here today and gets one more chance next week. But, you know, the fact that they looked awful again and the fact that they've, you know, looked awful for basically the last 2 months, you know, the part of the reason the action was taken when it was is because the on-field product just wasn't up to snuff. And so while McCarthy, I think, certainly understood the possibility that he could be fired when the season was over, and he might have even thought that that was a likelihood given the way things were going, I certainly believe that he expected the chance to at least finish the regular season. And so I'm sure the timing caught him off guard.
Talking with Michael Cohen with The Athletic here, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan, as far as a new candidate to be the head coach after this Joe Philbin thing ends, I'm trying to figure out what I think would be best for Aaron Rodgers. I think the new head coach needs to be someone clearly that will work with Aaron Rodgers. Would it be more in line, do you think, to be like a retread, just somebody who's been in the league before, like a Gary Kubiak or Bruce Arians or someone that has stature that Rodgers can then listen to? Because if it's a young guy, a lot of people are throwing out all these names of young guys, offensive coordinators and Josh McDaniels and Lincoln Riley. The problem is for me, Michael, is that if you look at the Sean McVay situation with Jared Goff, that works because while Sean McVay is 34, Jared Goff's like 23. So if you bring in a young guy around 35 like Lincoln Riley, well, Aaron Rodgers is like 35. So while he may get that juice of creativity, I don't know. I just always feel like while they should be working together, there should be some superiority that a coach has over a quarterback. And I don't know what kind of guy you go out there and find that is going to give that to Aaron Rodgers at this point.
Yeah, it's a fascinating, you know, sort of situation that the Packers have to sift through for many different reasons. And one of the things that I'm most curious to watch is whoever the new coach ends up being, does Rodgers make any sort of noticeable shifts in his demeanor or the way that he carries himself to try and, you know, reflect the fact that he understands he's part of the problem right now? If he comes in next season and there's still the poor body language, there's still the pot shots in his press conferences at whoever the new coach is, you know, he's still calling guys out, he's still, you know, not entirely accepting, you know, the blame for poor play if he doesn't play as well as he should next season, then, you know, I think you're getting into a scenario where people are going to start to realize that Aaron Rodgers is not an easy guy to coach. But if he makes the necessary changes, if he realizes you know, oh shoot, you know, I need to adjust myself too. This was partially, you know, my responsibility. Then I think you can have a little bit of a, you know, a broader pool of who you're looking for. You know, I don't think Rodgers would have any issue with Sean McVay, because Sean McVay would provide the creativity and the ingenuity that Rodgers has been searching for or hoping for or requesting. So I think they could go a couple of different ways. I think they definitely need to go for an offensive mind. You know, I think that that's something that Rodgers would require of the head coach position. I mean, if they brought in a defensive head coach, I just don't know how you then, you know, put somebody atop the franchise that Rodgers, you know, would respect as an authority figure. And so that's why I think it needs to be an offensive guy, whether it's a younger guy or an older guy. I'm not entirely sure, but it has to be somebody that thinks they can, you know, connect with Rodgers and thinks they can provide the sort of mental stimulation and challenges that Rodgers wants as a quarterback. But look, you know, Rodgers needs to make some adjustments. And, you know, I understand that he certainly thinks the grass is probably greener on the other side, and maybe it will be. But there's no guarantee that the new head coach will come in and have success, and there's no guarantee that the talent on next year's roster will be significantly better than this year's to warrant different results. So there's a lot of things that need to change for the Packers. And, you know, barring some sort of immediate turnaround like the Rams had with McVay in a couple of years, or Peterson had in a couple of years in Philadelphia, as my former colleague Tom Silverstein noted, you know, this could be a 3 or 4 or 5 year thing. And Rodgers has to understand that, you know, by ushering this change in and ushering McCarthy out, you know, it's not guaranteed that this is going to be all rainbows and sunshine by next season.
Minded coach, yet bringing a veteran offensive coordinator. I'm not saying North Turner, who's in Carolina, but a guy like that, a guy who's been around a little bit, and maybe Rodgers would like him.
You mean, are you asking me if they should hire North Turner? I'm confused.
No. Could they hire a defensive minded head coach, yet you hire a veteran offensive coordinator like Turner? A guy like that, a veteran guy who's been around the blocks a little bit, as your offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, I think they could. But I don't know if that signals to this franchise the direction that they need to go. You know, right now, defense isn't the problem. I mean, maybe lack of talent on defense is a problem. But, I mean, Mike Pettine has made a significant difference this year. And I just think that if the defense finishes the season strongly, mm-hmm. I think the Packers have to think really hard about whether or not they want to keep Mike Pettine the way that, you know, the Bears were really trying hard to keep Vic Fangio last year, even though they brought in a new coach. And I think that if the defense plays well enough, Pettine deserves to be back, given the strides that he's made with what is, by all accounts, a defense that lacks talent at a number of key positions. So theoretically, you know, what you said could potentially work, but mm-hmm. I just think that if Pettine finishes the season strongly, why would you get rid of a guy that basically took a pretty bare cupboard and made the results far more respectable? So that's another thing that Murphy and Gutekunst have to weigh, is not only do they keep Pettine, but then they would have to find a head coach that they believe would be amenable to keeping Pettine, because traditionally, of course, the head coach gets to choose the entire staff, not just their side of the ball. So there's all different factors involved, and there's a lot of people that are playing for their jobs and coaching for their jobs in the next 4 weeks, even though McCarthy is already gone.
Michael, plenty to talk about in the coming days. Mark Murphy talking today. Joe Philbin talking today. We'll catch up with you later in the week. Keep up the good work at The Athletic, and we'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good. Later in the week.
Michael Cohen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank, start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935, and also Michael's coverage brought to you by the Thomas Morola Law Offices. Brought to you by Morola Law Offices. As mentioned, divorce, child custody, any other family law needs, go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online, morolalaw.net or 414-327-5800.
Well, Bart, Mark Murphy is talking to the media at 1:45, but it should be the general manager of the team. If Ted Thompson was the GM, and he would have never fired Mike McCarthy, but if he was going to make a coaching switch like they did back in 2006, it was Ted Thompson doing the talking about hiring a new coach and firing a coach. It shouldn't be the team president making this announcement today.
We'll talk more on that and hear more from you. 414-799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins right here on The Fan.
The Packers drop to 4-7-1 with a loss to the Cardinals. And Coach McCarthy is out.
This is Aaron Rodgers' 35th birthday today.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
So happy birthday, Aaron. You got, you're 35 and your coach is fired. So got to make you happy, I guess.
There's a lot to say about this one.
It didn't come as such a shock that maybe it could happen at some point at the end of the season, but not today.
It's an Aurora Sports Health Green and Gold Monday. On The Fan. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Area man tweets in. Listen to Michael Cohen. One of the best pieces I've heard on the situation at 1265. So much insight and behind the scenes information complete with context. Great work. Michael Cohen, 820. Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays here on The Fan. Quick shout out to you. You and you and you and you, everybody that came by, whether it was one toy or a donation online or a donation at the toy drive. $160,168 raised for the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Thanks to you guys at our 12th annual toy drive. We were live all week. We had some great guests. If you missed any of those are all on demand. But what a great week from you guys, whether it was, you know, Jimmy who came by on Friday or Monday with $5,000, whether it was Jeff who came with his dog to give 50, whether it was the guys from ThermTech with $2,000, Tri-County Appraisal, Blake with 500. You guys came through as you always do, and a big thanks for you for that.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun. That's one of our great weeks here at the radio station. And then when we hear totals like that we break the record from last year, and, you know, we always seem to do that, that's awesome, man.
A lot of kids going to get toys that otherwise wouldn't have them this holiday season, and that is because of you. 414-799-1250. Nick's been hanging for a while out in the Twin Cities. Thanks for hanging, Nick. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Long time listener, but it is my first time calling you.
Oh. Well, that's a great thing.
Hell yeah.
Don't be a foreigner to the show.
Don't be a foreigner.
That's right. Love it. Yeah, I'm originally from Ashland, Wisconsin, but I've lived in the Twin Cities 20 plus years, but I'll get right to it. So a lot of people, and Cohen kind of was a good segue to this, but I actually think they should look for a defensive coordinator, defensive-minded head coach. I think they need to pick, and again, I think Pettine's been good. I guess like a game like yesterday when offense struggles and Rodgers struggles, I still think they need more there. I think that's a team that if the defense was at that next level, they hold them to 3 field goals and Packers still win the game. I think they need to get to the point where we have rushers, we have front seven pressure that makes the back end better. I don't really care if it's a 3-4 or 4-3 base, but I strongly feel a guy like this Martindale, he's a defensive coordinator right now with the Ravens.
Yeah, Wink Martindale. That's his real name.
very interesting name situation, but it's like guys like that who are, again, he's maybe a little older, but he's that defensive coordinator who's ready maybe for a head job. But he, like Zimmer here, he's got the reins on the defense. All decisions about the defense go through him. But then you bring in, I don't know if it's a new guy, retread like more of Turner as an offensive coordinator, but let them go in their room, do their thing on the offensive coordination, but make this team defense.
Yeah, see,
make them Baltimore West or yeah, whatever.
Yeah, know? Yeah, that's not the worst idea in the world. That's why I brought that up to Michael.
Yeah, what took you so long to call? Thanks for not being a foreigner.
No, if you hire a defensive, now.
Thanks, Nick.
They've always had offensive coaches. Ray Rhodes, the one exception in 1999, was a defensive coordinator, defensive coach, and a former defensive coordinator of the Packers, but you know, they've always went the offensive route. What if you hired a defensive coordinator, a defensive-minded coach? Because I know the defense is turned around this year, but, I mean, you want that defense strong. Try that route. And would Aaron, though, welcome a defensive-minded head coach and have an offensive coordinator that he can talk to?
I've got one requirement for the next head coach. Be someone that Aaron Rodgers will listen to, yet that might be the toughest trait to find.
Okay, now, that can mean a number of different things when you say someone Aaron Rodgers will listen to. What's your description of that?
Don't go out and play like crap like you did yesterday and think you can get away with it.
Well, that's not listening. That's just being bad. I think what Rodgers, who knows what he really needs? I mean, here he wants to be coached, then does he want more freedom? I mean, I think Rodgers is one big drama king. That's what he is. Yeah, he is. I mean, the way he's been this year and that body language, he should be ashamed of himself for acting that way.
I mean, I don't disagree with any of that, honestly. 799-1250.
It is.
799-1250.
It's disgraceful.
Santo on the west side. We saw Santo in Waukesha last week.
And his three kids.
At Blaine's. Yeah, what's up, Santo?
Hey, Santo.
Good morning, gentlemen. I got a lot to say, but I'll try to condense it all. Number one, what the Packers need to do is they need to find the next Mike McCarthy, which, and I'm not saying the retread Mike McCarthy. I'm saying that young offensive dynamic mind that will challenge Rodgers to do what he has to do in the offseason and the little things that he needs to do, just like Mike McCarthy did for Favre. People seem to forget this. When Mike McCarthy came here, Favre was a wild quarterback, just like Rodgers is right now, and McCarthy tamed him. That's exactly what we need to do. And you had a caller earlier mention Bieniemy. That's the type of guy I want, because I want Pettine to say it. I want Bieniemy to say, okay, Pettine, you run the defense. Because Pettine's running a solid defense with guys playing safety that should be bagging groceries at Meijer, okay? He still managed to put a defense out there yesterday.
Hey, bagging groceries is hard. I've done it.
I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? I mean, these are guys that are walking off the street and they're playing safety in the NFL, and he still managed
to push carts. That was tough, too.
Still putting a serviceable defense out there. And so what I want to see is I want to see a young offensive dynamic mind come on in. Okay, this is what you wanted, Rodgers. This is what I got for you. And if Rodgers can't be coached to him because he's too young, then we're screwed anyways. Then Rodgers is way beyond any drama that Favre caused us. I mean, he's the biggest drama queen ever in that case, because he's going to get exactly what he wanted. Because what has he been saying? We need new, fresh ideas. Well, bring him in then. Bring in the fresh ideas. Here, Rodgers, here's your fresh ideas. Pettine, you take care of the defense. I'm going to get the offense. Bieniemy is actually perfect. That caller was a genius in my mind. But that's what we need to do. We need to stop with the ideas of retreads or the ideas of bringing in a defensive-minded coach. We have to think, we have to make Rodgers happy. Because if it happens next year and Rodgers is still throwing it to people's feet, then it's a Rodgers declining thing, and it's not a coach thing, and we're screwed either way. And if he can't listen to a coach, then we're screwed either way anyways. So let's bring in what he wants and see how it works. That's the best situation in my mind.
Santo, thanks for the call. 799-1250. As you start to think of what could be the next coach, what are you looking for? 414-799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler. More next on The Fan.
The Packers dropped to 4-7-1 with a loss to the Cardinals. And Coach McCarthy is out.
This is Aaron Rodgers' 35th birthday today.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
So happy birthday, Aaron. You got you're 35 and your coach is fired. So got to make you happy, I guess.
There's
a lot to say about this one.
It didn't come as such a shock that maybe it could happen at some point at the end of the season, but not today.
It's an Aurora Sports Health Green and Gold Monday on The Fan. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
you got what you want. Terry Bradshaw, 414-799-1250. Mike Clemens will join us next hour. He was up at Lambeau when this all went down. We'll talk to him around 9:15. Tomorrow we'll get Aaron Nagler's thoughts. Cheesehead TV, 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that one. That's 8 a.m. tomorrow. 414-799-1250. Let's get up to you guys. Anthony on the north side. What's up, Anthony?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing? The next coach, I think, for the offense should be Van Pelt, his buddy. Let him coach the team, okay? And put the defensive coordinator as the head coach. And then that way you won't have to go through any changes, and everybody will be happy. Because I think the defensive coordinator is doing a good job with what he has, okay? He doesn't have anything. Because most of the guys are all hurt or injured or whatever, but I think Van Pelt would be a good call. So I'll hang up and listen. Goodbye.
I think Van Pelt thought he was going to get a head coaching, not a head, offensive coordinator position somewhere. He left Green Bay. He wanted out of Green Bay. So I think he's a quarterback coach somewhere. I forgot where.
He's with Cincy. He's been a quarterback coach since 2005, was the running back coach here in Green Bay from 2012 to 2013, then Rodgers coach for 3-4 years, and then went to Cincinnati. He's been an offensive coordinator once. That was in 2009 with the Bills when he was also the dual quarterbacks coach. So he's never really been more than a position coach outside of 1 year. And when you throw his name out there for offensive coordinator or head coach, I mean, I'm not going to laugh at that because Rodgers likes him. And that's apparently what we need is a coach that Rodgers likes. Otherwise, Rodgers is going to play like he did yesterday.
Yeah, although there's the rest of the team, too, to think about. And the guy whose name is thrown out there a lot is and the offense hasn't been great as of late, though, is DeFilippo, the offensive coordinator in Minnesota. Young guy, apparently an innovative guy, and a guy who's drawing some head coaching feelers out there in the NFL. He's going to be up for some jobs.
He could be the offensive coordinator with the Saints, the Chiefs. I mean, all these guys get mentioned. And honestly, I'll tell you, this is my least favorite part of sports is just grabbing a name and running with it. And, you know, it's just like snowballs. And all of a sudden, the same thing happens with the draft where we don't know any of these guys. And then there's one guy that we hear of. And then now the whole world wants Lincoln Riley to be the next head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And then he's not. And we're all mad.
And nobody heard of Mike McCarthy in that whole coaching process. And then Mike McCarthy is the next head coach of the Packers, or Mike Sherman. Who are those guys?
Yeah. Anything our listener Christian got so mad, he mailed back the stock in the frame although, when McCarthy was hired.
Although, you know, Mike Holmgren, at least he was coming here from the San Francisco. Mike McCarthy did too, but Holmgren came from the San Francisco 49ers under the Bill Walsh tree, under a different era.
But McCarthy also wanted Alex Smith over Rodgers, which Rodgers probably never got over to this day. Dan on the Northwest side. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how you guys doing? I love your show. Hey, there's one thing that Chuck just kind of hit on it, and I think that you have to find a coach that can coach the whole team. I mean, think about last year. Rodgers goes down, and look what happened. I mean, I think to just find a guy to appease one guy on a team, I mean, I just don't get that. I'm just not real a big fan of that whole thing, and Rodgers' performance yesterday really, I mean, come on. I can't believe that he would lose to the Cardinals out there unless he was trying to make some sort of statement. So I think to kind of feed into that could be detrimental. I really believe you have to find a guy. It's tough. I'm not saying it's easy. You have to find someone that can not only coach the whole team, but can really command some like respect from Rodgers. And that's probably going to be tough. But, I mean, I'm not saying you have to be an older coach to do that. I think there's a lot of younger guys out there that could probably pull off. I can't name names, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that can do that, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Bulls have just fired Fred Hoiberg. That just came across just now. I think you need a guy, obviously, who's gonna be able to coach the whole team, and Rodgers is a big part of it. But I think we saw last year with Rodgers going down with the injury, we saw that maybe Mike McCarthy is not the great coach that we thought he was. He's a good coach, but he's not. Where was he without Rodgers? This team was not very good without Rodgers. There's a lot into Rodgers, but the rest of the team, and we saw too that maybe Ted Thompson wasn't the great general manager we all thought he was either.
No, but now it's Mike McCarthy's term to be the one that leaves. Mm-hmm. The one that, I mean, there's nobody left outside of Rodgers, and they just signed him to a huge extension. So this is it. I'm very curious to see what Mark Murphy says today at 1:45, because he put all his chips in the middle under Mike McCarthy, and now he's the one. He consulted Goody, sure, but he's the one who made this decision. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Mike Clemens joining us next hour. More from you guys. You're on hold. We'll get to you if you're not, get there. 799-1250. Chuck and Winkler. McCarthy fired. Joe fill in for now. That's what we're going with. We are going with that. It's Chuck and Winkler, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM. The Fan and everywhere. Radio.com.